Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. Hi, welcome to SkyPod by Access Astrology. We're three astrologers trying to bring real astrology out to the public because we find it so fascinating and so useful ourselves. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from North Dakota on the Canadian border tonight. And we're also joined by Mark. Introduce
Mark
yourself.
Mark Wolkes. Hi, Mark Wolkes speaking from New York City, Manhattan, on the west side over by the Hudson River.
And
Ann Ortley on the east side at my bright red desk with a new kitten on the on my mouse pad. So if you hear squeaking, that is Remo. And we love astrology. And we found Heather. She got lost in the mountains in North Dakota last week. So she's back with us this week. Yay! Just in time for the new moon, Heather.
It is. And what a new moon it is.
Mm-hmm.
With this new moon right on the solstice, right at just a smidge away from the solstice, with the sun and moon in Cancer today, opposed Pluto, within a degree of a direct opposition to Pluto. It's a real shake-up. It's an emotional roller coaster. I'm finding my description was like the big rolling waves of the North Atlantic. And to have that sun and moon in conjunct in Cancer opposed Pluto, we feel the, you know, death and rebirth. We feel life and, you know, the beauty of this full summer, just the glory of the longest days of the year, and big political upheaval and the accident, the train crash that shook a lot of people up in Washington, D.C. today because it was in such an ordinary place. It's on metro trains. It's the kind of thing that could happen to anybody at any time. And I think Pluto's opposition to the sun and moon, you know, the moon opposes Pluto once a month and the sun does it once a year. They're no big deal except that they're happening together at this year. Is that it's reminding us to really grasp life, to really reach fully for being alive. We see that in the Iraqi upheaval, which is one of the many forms this year of that Saturn-Pluto opposition that's echoing all year long and breaking down old structures and helping build new ones, and we're going to come back to that in a minute. But what was the key trigger this week in taking that movement from a short-term demonstration to a longer-term movement was the martyrdom of one woman. And the YouTube video of this one innocent bystander being killed has been to really being a rallying point and a carrying forth of that work together. I see this both as the sun and moon in Cancer. You know, it's a very maternal, the sign of the mother goddess, opposed Pluto. And Venus and Mars, Venus in her own sign, you know, feminine strength, trining Saturn. So there's what we commit to this week will tend to build and grow. You know, we're dealing with life and death and those big mood swings, but we're also getting asked to build deeper and deeper roots and really commit to something with Venus and Mars conjunct in an Earth sign, trine Saturn. So I think any political movement that puts its roots down now will grow. It will be inevitable. It's just a matter of when.
Hmm.
What are you seeing, Mark?
Well,
have you
the new moon is definitely a huge influence this week, and we'll be sitting with that influence really all week as it, you know, the energy unwinds out of it, and you know, a lot of big things going on with sun and moon opposing Pluto,
mm-hmm.
and then Mars and Venus trining Saturn, and Mercury squaring Saturn, all of that going on in that chart. And it's a lot of energy. It's a good one to sort of grab hold of and do something with. For some of us, it'll feel like being a rodeo cowboy, though. A little hard to ride this one, but it's doable. It's just there's a lot of power in it, and we have to be willing to deal with the power, work with it. But that trine from Venus and Mars to Saturn, that's what makes it a you know, really doable. And focusing on what is stable and how to balance the masculine and feminine energies, those, you know, that part of it is what will create the stability in this particular new moon.
Yeah, no, I think.
And really, not just the new moon, but it's the solstice, and so, you know, it's this part of the year as well, because the sun is making its turnaround from heading north. Now it's going to start going back south.
Right, and all the days get a little minute shorter every day. It's always kind of the moment where it stops. The sun stops and stands still for 3 days. It looks like it stands still at the same degree. I think the thing with this one too is that it's you know, one of the things that I always kind of think of, especially when a new planet enters a sign, and Pluto entered Capricorn in November for good for the next, you know, till 2024 or 14, 15 years, depending on how you're counting. And when the sun makes an aspect to the new planet in the new sign at each of the ingress points, or actually as it enters any of the signs, you know, as it goes through Taurus and Gemini and all the other signs, it counts too. Because when it hits zero, each sign kind of goes over and introduces itself to the new sign and the new thing. So all this year, since December, the signs have been going over, and the sun sign, the gravity, the force of the direction of the chart, has been going over and having a conversation with Pluto and saying, "Hi, Pluto, welcome to Capricorn, nice to meet you." And Pluto's kind of grumbled at them and said, "Yes, I'm here." And when it's Cancer, you know, it's the opposite energy, so much the opposite energy of Pluto and Capricorn. And so this is like a face-off, you know. And so I do think that, you know, that comment you made about the woman being martyred and the grandmothers and all the women that are in the street in Iran, it's not just the kids, it's the women that are out there. You know, that we're seeing the feminine rising up and saying, you know, this is, we want to change things here. We want a different way of working. And that lunar, it's a full moon aspect. The sun and the moon are joined, but they're joined together looking across the way at Pluto going, okay, so how are we going to work with you for the next 14 years? How are we going to bring the water and the nurturing and the caring, compassionate energy of Cancer into some kind of alignment with this power grab kind of energy that Pluto and Capricorn has? Now, we forget that Capricorn actually is a feminine sign because it's an earth sign. And when Pluto's in it, we kind of go, ooh. But and so on many levels, it's the dark goddess energy, too. It's the Hecate. It's the Kali Ma. It's the destructive volcano of Mother Nature. But it's kind of a profound moment in time. And the other thing that's happening is the nodes are at 1-2 also. One of Leo, one of Aquarius. So the south node's been going through Leo since December of 2007, getting us out of our ego and trying to get us more focused on what's the good for the collective, and taking away the kings and the queens. Leo rules the kings and the queens, and saying, well, what's good for the community? You know, and we've shifted from a, you know, you're the king that can fly in the airplane to, well, what the community needs is this, and we have a community organizer as a president. So we've kind of seen the collective shift, you know, and all this crap about, excuse my French, socialized medicine and all that. But it's the shift from the collective, the shift from me, unique, I'm the god, into me, how do I work with the community? And Pluto and the moon and the sun are both aspecting those nodes, and they're really aspecting them in an inconjunct manner, which says you have to adjust. You have to adjust. You have to make some kind of change. And furthermore, it's a psychological kind of adjustment. You have to make a psychological shift in the way you approach things. You have to make a psychological adjustment in what your understanding is. And when you do that, it gets much easier. But if you hang on to the old, it's going to be hard. So the face-off, actually, it's kind of like if you just kind of shimmy a little to the left or the right, the face-off goes away. But you have to take that step. You have to make that adjusting movement. And I think this moon, I know for me, it's very much, I'm feeling like, you know, I've got this new kitten, so the whole house is adjusting to a kitten. And the cats that were the kings, who are really, you know, wonderful cats, they're kind of looking at this guy going, so, like, who are you? And the kitten's like, you know, I'm here. like I'm alive, I'm happy, I'm having a good time. And you forget. You forget how much your life is a rut until there's this adjusting energy that says, no, no, you have to change now. And I think that's what we're all facing is, no, no, you have to change. And on the new moon, which feels a little like a full moon because it's fighting with Pluto, it's like, yeah, you got to change. What's that look like? So I think it's a, you know, I'm not real happy with it in the sense I'm feeling very energetically a little wired and a little anxious because the inconjuncts also is anxiety. But I also feel like it's a positive anxiety. And, you know, some anxieties are good. Not all of them, but this one I'm kind of hoping it'll be good. And, you know, the kitten is, you know, he's anxious. He runs around, you know, strange news, people coming, going, oh, let me pick you up. And he's like, oh, no, I don't think so. And he runs away. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, it's just adjusting. You know, it's an adjusting kind of feel.
And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that adjusting energy goes down to the core. And you have exactly the idea that we need, that as long as we're working with it, we're in good shape. And I think the difference between how Iraq and America are handling the Saturn-Uranus opposition is a good example. You know, that Saturn and Uranus opposition, which was exact on our last election day and continues on repeatedly for another year, breaking down old structures and saying we have to dissolve those old bones, the old structures that aren't working, and find new ways of doing our work, find new ways of, you know, building security. We've certainly seen that on the economy. All of these pieces of breaking down and finding new. Now, America did it by electing a new official and taking a whole different take on, and, you know, there's resistance as we're going along. We're trying to figure out how to do it wisely, but we're taking a whole new take on how we do government in America and where we want our government to go. Now, you see in Iran the attempt to hold on to the past, to hold on to the train station when the train pulls out.
Right.
And it is just breaking apart at the seams at the moment. We see it, I think, more intensely this week, not only because of that we see the momentum building as Venus and Mars conjunct trine Saturn, which is a steady, solid intensity that really pulses with good work in that direction once we get going. Today and tomorrow, with all the emotional discharge, it may be hard to get going, but by the end of the week, we'll watch it build. But Mercury this week squares Saturn, and comes back. It's been doing its squares to Uranus and echoing off that, saying, "This has to find a voice."
Mm-hmm.
This, and it's coming. You know, it's coming back to. It's been as it did its whole retrograde cycle. It opposed it several times, and it has to find a voice. It has to take a step forward, and it has to get moving. So all of us, we see what's happening in both America as it's taking on the agendas. Obama is just now getting to some of the issues that he campaigned upon because he had to put out so many fires or deal with so many fires
right.
when he first got into office. Mm-hmm. And so we see finally some of that progress being attempted. In Iran right now, we see this intensity that's obviously, you know, who knew until recently how much resistance was already building in the country until it caught fire. And
right.
then it's just, you know, but this has been brewing for a while, for at least this year, or it could not have reached this fast with this much power behind it. This, again, that momentum that Venus and Saturn trine. So let's look in our own lives. You know, you're having your personal revolution by the cat coming into
yes.
your life. And saying, look, you know, break those old ruts. You know, what's going to really work here? We're a new dynamic.
Right.
And I watched this year, I was supposed to go back east for a big conference and the graduation for my students at the seminary. I could not get back for love or money. And I took that as a sign that I needed to let go more of some of those connections in New York and make myself available for things here. And when I didn't do that, I went to this World Food Summit and made some very interesting connections for the next level of my work.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting that over and over again, that we have to let go of something to feel that the new hope. But the new stuff is waiting for us if we can just stop trying to get blood from a stone.
Right.
Or if we can really listen to what did work before but is asking us to let that go and try a different path. Mm-hmm. And it may feel kind of radical to us. Now, today and tomorrow are so, you know, just like some emotional processing and catching up. Tomorrow, the sun perfects its opposition to Pluto, and Venus and Mars sesquisquare Pluto. So there, it is an emotional day. It could be a real release, a time, especially in the afternoon, as the moon sextiles Venus and Mars and Saturn, a chance when we either we may get some good news or we may get something clarifies and we feel an emotional release for better or for worse. And then, you know, so let's make tomorrow a kind of a personal time about our own personal work, not push ourselves out there too much. Then the moon heads into Leo towards the end of the month, end of the week, and Mercury squares Saturn, and it feels like we're kind of getting back into the work and start. We'll feel some of the energy of the solstice about getting started on this season's efforts. What do you see, Mark?
Sounds like that's the track we're on. It is. It's an exciting time, and the shift into summer, I think, is really carrying a lot of this. Like, you know, we can feel the shift in the day length, shift in the weather, shift in temperatures, and it just goes along with all this energy that's with it. So I think we can all sort of let the feeling carry us and trust that it'll be right. And it's strong feeling, so, you know, be prepared to go somewhere.
And it's what? Well, what was that last part? I missed that.
It's a strong energy.
Strong energy, yeah.
So a lot of power. That's what's up, power and how to use it. So that's what we're doing. We should remind our listeners of the phone number.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We haven't had any callers yet. 347-215-8881. That's the phone to call in if you have a question, 347-215-8881. You got three astrologers here all willing to give you our opinion about what's going on in the world or in your chart.
Or in your chart, yeah.
And we also take emails, so you can email us at our website, astronyc.com. AstroNYC.com.
And you can find out on astronyc.com more information about us individually and how to contact us individually or collectively.
Yeah, which is very cool because we're all astrologers and we love working with clients. So feel free to give us a call. I think it's kind of an interesting week. You know, I also kind of noticed one of the things for me that was kind of striking is the moon and, Mercury is moving into a square with Saturn, you know, because he's now broken free of his shadow and he's really kind of head of the gang. You know, he's leading the pack and he's following and he's catching up to the pack, I guess, catching up to the sun at any rate. And he's going, okay, now I've got the information. And then behind him comes Mars and Venus. And last week, on Sunday, Mars and Venus joined, and they're starting a new year journey together. And they're in Taurus, and they're on the world axis, which means that they're very prominent and they're very public and they're very seen. And so when we see that kind of energy, it's very much about starting new cycles. And it's about starting new cycles around what you desire. And then they're also talking to Pluto because Pluto and them are both like at the same degree. They're forming a semi-square. So sometimes what your desire is isn't going to necessarily match what Pluto wants, and that's totally fine. At least say it. At least try and get it out there. At least try and come up with some new vision of what you're going towards, even if you do have to adjust. And that Mars-Venus energy is very potent for starting new cycles. The other thing it's going to do is they're traveling together for a little bit, and Mars and Venus are both in their conversation with Saturn, are saying to him, okay, now we actually have figured out what this Pluto story is going to be. Because remember, Pluto went into Capricorn And Saturn is in Virgo, and Saturn always worries about things. He's kind of like, I don't really know how this works. I'm not really sure if I know how to do it. I'm not 100% sure what I'm supposed to do. What am I, you know, what, you know, and he gets a little anxious, and he gets his knickers in a twist. And so he's had a kind of long retrograde journey since last fall, and now he's kind of clear. Saturn's clear, and Mercury's clear, and they're both moving forward, and they're both going to be talking to Pluto about, okay, you know, we actually are pretty good at this thing over here that we maybe want to do more of, and you know what, we're really kind of done with that thing over there that we really don't want to do anymore, and we're ready, kind of, maybe, sort of. So you'll have until August 24th. When Saturn passes his shadow where he was in December, to get your little button gear and your act together, and then we really roll into Pluto and Capricorn for good, for true, for real, with Saturn cooperating and helping him, helping Pluto know what the transformation is. I think of the two of them as kind of being brothers, even though they're not, because they do make the changes in our life. And so they're cooperating with each other right now. And they're trying to say to you, change, change. And we're about to enter the eclipse season, where the eclipses are going to go off, first a lunar eclipse, then a solar eclipse, then a lunar eclipse, in the signs ruled by Saturn, you know, in Capricorn, in Aquarius, asking us to make, you know, or bringing to bear the changes that need to happen to move us forward. So I think it's really a very pivotal time. And I know a lot of people are feeling the anxiety of it energetically, because it just feels like there's something wired or there's something going on. And certainly we can see it playing out in the riots in Iran, who are having their Saturn return. You know, interestingly, in 1979, they were formed as a country. So now they're having their Saturn return, and it's the children.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's the children from then, because they have Saturn in Virgo as a country, saying, okay, let's change. Let's change it up. And so, you know, it's kind of a fascinating energy in the world right now, because it's all about you got to change, and the old way doesn't really work. And so I just am, you know, praying for peace, but also looking at it and saying, okay, what do I need to change up in my life so that it moves in a new direction or it moves forward? So fascinating stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We live in interesting times. Huh?
I said it is,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, in the advantage, something that's been very helpful, I think, and through all this moodiness and the difficult, many people email me and say, here it is, summer solstice, how come I'm feeling not like doing anything? And, you know, normally this is a very outward time, but the introspection and the moodiness of the Pluto opposition has really asked us to bring it down, get real with it, bring it down, do with the feelings, work with the whole world's emotional mood swings at the moment, and then start over the summer and fill up and renew in time for the fall. Helping us renew, Venus and Mars and Taurus, it's very territorial in relationships, but it's sensual, it's friendly, it's helpful, it's good neighbors. That real friendships that are there can feed us in a deep way. It's being fed, Venus and Mars and Taurus, by what can be an ordinary day. It's being fed by, you know, a walk in the woods and a call with an old friend and family that's there for you, and just the general, you know, the feeling that we can be there for one another. I think that's that strong sense of camaraderie, which can support relationships. It's a week where if you make a commitment, it's probably going to come through. So be careful what you agree to. But if you want to make a change, because their Venus and Mars are both a trine discipline Saturn, if you want to start making a change in your diet or in your line of work or in something that you really want to commit to and you want some help with extra glue, do it 3 days in a row this week. And watch how easy it is for the new habits. Taurus needs repetition to kick in. It is not a fast change, but put gentle effort, put some repetition into a new habit, and it will grow roots fast. It's like if you transplant a plant this week, it will grow roots fast. Mm. So if we can, you know, it's the waxing moon in Cancer. It can't get a much more fertile time to plant something.
Right, right.
So plant with grace and joy.
Plus, Saturn joins with Ceres this weekend, which is really much, very much a a new diet or a new health ritual or health routine. So that's also a good time to do it this weekend, Saturday under the Virgo moon. I hadn't thought of it that way, but, you know, you're right. It is a very fertile moon. And I don't know about you.
And I'm a little, yeah.
Is it raining in North Dakota? Because we've had nothing but rain here. And people keep going to me, when's the rain going to stop? And I'm like, there is no fire in the sky. Huh?
Right. It's fertile. Yeah, no, we had downpours for at least an hour every day on my trip.
Yeah,
but
well,
yes, it is.
There's no fire. You know, the only thing in the fire is the South Node, and that's nothing. You know, the South Node's in fire saying there is no fire. And I'm like, you know, I think it's going to rain all of July, too. So it's very wet and soggy and gross. And I guess Seattle is dry, you know, and all their stuff that's used to water is going, where's the water? Where's the water? So I also feel like it's this time of, because there is so much water in the sky, that the emotional clarity is extra, extra stirred or is extra more profound. It's got a more more robustness to it, you know, saying, okay, emotionally I might be feeling a little out of sorts, but if I give the water time to settle, I'll actually know what that means. So it's kind of cool. Not easy. Not easy right now.
Remember with this new moon, the moon was out of bounds at 25 north.
Right.
So you had sun and moon both sitting in first degree of Cancer, and the sun sitting quite still because it was the solstice, but the moon sort of dancing, you know, a little further out, like just out of the sun's normal range. And it feels to me like the sense of the moon dancing around the sun. So, you know, all our focus is on the sun, especially at the solstice. And but then there's that powerful moon just doing a circle dance around it.
And saying, you can't catch me.
Exactly. And that's what our emotions are doing.
And then gazing across the equator at Pluto, going, you've got it down there on the southern hemisphere at the very bottom of the Earth. What's going on over there? And Pluto looking back over the hemisphere, kind of like a basketball net. It was, you know, or a tennis net, you know, where they're both kind of gazing at each other across the court, as far away as they can possibly be, but yet on some level united because they're in exact opposition to each other.
So I'm going to put on that one more proviso on the relationship issues. With Venus and Mars and Taurus, it's cuddly on a good day, but it is phenomenally territorial. Do not play with jealousy. This is a time when you really, people need to feel your loyalty to one another. As they feel like you're playing off anybody else or jerking their chain for no fun, or you are not being loyal and they cannot count on you, it will not be forgiven.
Right.
And it's a very intense aspect, and it will make a decision in the other direction. And, you know, sometimes I see in this combination an increase of crimes of passion or and sometimes an increase in rape, because it is, you know, wanting that emotional, physical connection, but those who don't have a clean way of getting to it can have that side of themselves cranked up. So it's a time, not usually, not always by a long shot, but it is a time to just, you know, to be honest with people, clean about your interactions, enjoy one another's company, but do not hit on territorial boundaries.
Right.
And enjoy the fun part of Venus and Mars conjunct in Taurus.
Yeah.
Can be very flirtatious if you want it. It can also mean that you love the taste of food. So watch your hungers turn up. So it can, like, we can want food, or we see how well else you can feed your senses. Feeding our senses by, you know, the taste of watermelon in the sunshine versus a large piece of chocolate cake, or by, you know, the wind in our hair and the beautiful sight of flowers. It is, our senses can really feed us and really help us renew right now.
Mm-hmm. Totally true. It's hard, you know, definitely.
Yes. Any last points that we need to make to sync this week?
Well, just remember that Mercury is in Gemini, so that does add some lightness and a strong urge to communicate at all costs. Uh-huh. Communicate.
Yeah.
Or when in doubt, communicate.
Keep talking.
It'll be saying, right. Okie dokie, I'm not sure I want this. Yeah, and I think, you know, the other part of it is with the moon squaring on Wednesday, Thursday, the moon squares the Venus and Mars in Leo. And I think one of the things that we have when that happens is there's kind of an argument, and it's in Leo, and it's really that whole vision of what you want to create, arguing with the planets that actually do the creation. So there's a conversation that needs to take place this week between... And I actually had talked to somebody earlier today, and it was kind of like, and his comment was, well, I think maybe you need to go think about this. You know, what is it you actually want to create? And I kind of went, yeah, I don't really know, you know. and then when you do that, you kind of say, and what do I want to create? This is a really big creation energy for all of us. So it's not, you know, like the people that are rioting in Iran at least have an idea of what they're trying to create. And somewhere in our chart, there's a little riot going on, where we're trying to figure out what we want to create in that riot place. And so if you understand that the entire world is a metaphor for us, somewhere in your chart, there's this stirring turbulence saying, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And if we appreciate that uncertainty or that lack of clarity is there, it makes it a lot easier because a lot of times, I mean, at least I always think I should know what I'm doing. And, you know, so many times I don't. I just kind of, you know, if I show up and I do the best I can, it works. But that it's, you know, and if I commit to it passionately, you know, whatever I'm doing, committing to in that moment, I can commit to it because I can for that moment, then that works. And I think that's really all you have to ask of yourself this week is to commit to the thing you can commit to passionately because the rest of it is kind of, you know, hard. It's hard. So, you know?
Yes. And on that, I hope people really can step in and enjoy their summer as through all of this moodiness and let the, you know, squish your toes in the mud and even if you have to go to Central Park to do it and really get that Taurian, you know, fed from the roots feeling when the moods hit or when we're not sure what we're letting go of or we see the world. We see the big changes that are going on this year, that we can take a deep breath and feel the strength underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we can do this, and that's, I think, what this aspect says more than anything else. Yes, there's change, and we have the strength to do it.
Right. And part of the whole part of change is when it's happening is you feel like you don't know what you're doing. It feels uncertain. And one of the things humans like is, you know, is certainty. And there isn't any right now, or it doesn't feel like there's much. And it's, you know, part of it's Uranus and Saturn arguing, and part of it is, you know, just this level of kind of, you know, baseline running underneath and not, you know, having to adjust. And once you kind of live in, okay, I have to adjust, all right, I can adjust, it, you know, but it does mean you need to be gentle with yourself, too, and give yourself extra time to adjust. You know, if you need to sleep, if you need to come home and take the phone off the hook and put a big ice pack on your head, no, do that, or a nice hot soak in your tub, or whatever you find that nurtures yourself, because the moon in Cancer really wants to nurture you, and then the moon in Leo later in the week wants to play. So this is not a week to give huge assignments to yourself other than nurturing yourself.
They'll be there, yes, because... Yeah, you don't have to give yourself a huge assignment. The huge assignments will be there if they're supposed to be there, and if they're not, take a deep breath.
Right. So.
And speaking of deep breaths, are we scheduled for an hour or half an hour tonight?
Oh, I just put it in for a long time.
Okay.
But nobody called. So, you know, nobody's got questions, so we can hang up. We can all go, like, you know, have a cocktail or soak our feet. Me, I'm going to curl... I went to this lecture this weekend, an astrology conference lecture with this, like, really cool stuff. It was evolutionary astrology. And I bought, like, two books. And one of them, very funny, I left in the bed with the fan going, and I guess it must have been waving in the air, and the kitten, like, chewed the cover, like, chewed little puncture holes through the whole cover. So I was reading that with – it was kind of like Braille on the – you know, the cover felt like Braille. So I'm going to go to bed and read a book.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And which astrologer was that?
It was Stephen Forrest.
Oh,
so he has a new book out called Yesterday's Sky, where he does, you know, the evolutionary astrology. Yeah, it was very well presented, and it was really good. I really liked it. I learned a lot.
He's marvelous, that one.
Yeah, he really is. He's very funny. He was very cute. And then the book that got chewed was his wife's book on the Ascendant, which I had never read, so I bought that book too, and that was the book that the kitten chewed Saturday while I was gone. I don't know if it was separation anxiety or it was the fan making the cover blow. So at any rate, it's got little puncture holes all through it. He's got very sharp little teeth. So yeah. So, but yeah, so anyway, we can all hang up and go, you know, have our lives.
Okay, good.
Does that sound like a plan?
So tune in again next week. Call in with your questions.
Yes. If you don't call in, we can't answer your questions.
Right. Well, we may be answering your questions.
Yeah, they may be really happy with what we're saying, and they don't really feel like they want to call in. We think they should want to call in, and they're going, I'm not going to call in. You guys are talking too much. So you want to?
Well,
take...
we love to hear from them.
Yeah, we love hearing from people. So we're good. So, yeah.
Okay.
So remember to check out our website, astronyc.com, if you have any questions about us or how to reach us.
Right. And tune in next week for the show, where you hear Ann Ortley, an astrologer on the Upper East Side, and
Heather Rowan Robbins here in North Dakota with Mark.
Over on the west side of Manhattan, Mark Waltz.
Yeah, cool. All right. So talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Great.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.